Happy Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving nowadays seems like it means overindulgence, overeating, over everything. But you know, if you study history, the pilgrims, when they instituted Thanksgiving, it was because they were truly thankful to be alive, thankful for God being in their lives and just being real in their lives. And so I'm hoping that we can, you know, recapture a little bit of that today. You know, we're thankful oftentimes for things that we have, things that we do, thankful for material things. But you know, truly being thankful to God is just being thankful that He is God. And, you know, I think sometimes I know, oftentimes we take Him for granted. We take Him for granted because He just is. He's God. And we know He's God. And sometimes we get comfortable in just knowing He's there and He's God. But are we truly thankful for Him? Luke chapter 17 shares there's a story of 10 lepers. And it's an interesting story. It's where God led me for this message today. And the message is, are you thankful? Are you thankful? We can sit in church and say, sure, I'm thankful. And we should be. We should be thankful that we have this building to meet in, that we have an opportunity and the freedom to worship without fear or without, some of the persecution that takes place in some of the places around the world. And so in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, it says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village there, he met 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And so when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had been cleansed, that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" So I want to just break that down a little bit for us today and look at that in some depth. You know, in verse 11, it says, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And that's significant because Samaria, the Samaritans, had nothing to do with the Jews. You know, when the story of the woman at the well, that is borne out when you read that story. And so he went through Samaria. Jesus, being a Jew, where Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. And then as he entered a village, he met 10 men there, lepers, and they stood afar off. The word says, who stood afar off. What that means is they were isolated. They lived alone. Lepers were required to live alone, by themselves, away from the public, away from society. And so they were really outcast. by the nature of their disease. And so in verse 13, he says, they lifted up their voices and he said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. They ask for mercy from God, from Jesus. Mercy. And what they were asking for was healing. Healing. I think they knew that, but it's interesting the way they ask it. They said, have mercy on us. To me, that shows a heart that's right. It's a heart that's prepared to receive from God. Because they didn't cry out, heal us, make us clean, make us well. They just said, Jesus, have master. They called him master. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And so to me, that showed their hearts were in the right place. One, they acknowledged who Jesus was. They recognized and realized who he was. And number two, as the Bible says, God desires a broken and contrite heart, meaning a humble and repentant heart. And I believe that's what those lepers were displaying. They were showing humility. They just said, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. And then they left it to him. You see, in verse 14, it says, so when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. It's interesting, as you read through the Bible, in Matthew, I think it's chapter 8, he healed a single leper. And he told him to go show yourself to the priest. Other places where Jesus showed them, where he healed someone, he said, go show them yourself to the priest. And see, that was custom. You look back in Leviticus, the law for lepers was anyone that was suspected of having leprosy had to come before the priest, and the priest would examine them and determine if they had leprosy or not. And of course, there was a custom there. He would wait 7 days and have them come back, and he'd look at them again and wait 7 more days and then examine and determine. And so Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And so it says they went. So it was as they went, as they headed to find the priest and to show him, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. You know, isn't it interesting? He didn't touch them and lay hands on them and cleanse them right then. Wonder why he did that. I believe he wanted to know their faith. I believe he wanted to know their faith. Did they have the faith? It's easy to cry out, have mercy on us. But did they have the faith to really believe that he is? And he could, and he would, but not in any expectancy the way they thought he might. They just left and took off. And the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. And I believe that was, to a large degree, an exhibition of their faith. You know, first they cried, Master, have mercy on us. That was an act of faith. When he said, he didn't say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. He said, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, I don't know what they were thinking. They were probably thinking, well, Jesus, why do you think we're isolated out here? We've already been to the priest, and he said we got leprosy. And no, they went. They may have been thinking that, but they went. And because they were obedient, the Bible says, God prefers obedience over sacrifice. See, they didn't have anything to sacrifice anyway. But they were obedient. And as they went, they were cleansed. And so I believe that was a test of faith to a large degree. But I think it this story shows us an even deeper sense of faith. In verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a loud voice said, "Thank you, Jesus." No, what he did was he glorified God. He gave glory to God. You see, what do we do when we experience success? Or we have something profound happen, or we accomplish something? Do we glorify God the very first thing, or do we say, "Man, I did good with that, and those people really helped me with that, and we got it done"? That's what we do, don't we? But the one leper came back and glorified God first, and then he fell at Jesus' feet and worshiped him. You know, when you read through the Old Testament, every time when God moved, it doesn't matter who it was, Abraham, Moses, whoever, when they were moving through and God did something, they stopped and they worshiped him. They worshiped him. They stopped and they worshiped him. And so here's this leper. He says, one of them, when he saw him, he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And guess what? He was a Samaritan. A Samaritan who Jews had nothing to do with, and Samaritans had nothing to do with Jews. I think that's significant. I think that's significant. Because, see, being a Samaritan, he could have just kept on going, "Wow, this is awesome." He knew Jesus was a Jew. And he came back and he fell at his feet and he worshiped him and he thanked him. Thankfulness is an act of worship. Thankfulness, being truly thankful, is worship. You know, it's funny. Sometimes something will happen, or like you're looking for something, you can't find it, and you pray, and then you find it. Thank you, Jesus. And we're serious about it. But we don't think about it. That's worship. When we're truly thankful. When we're truly thankful. He glorified God. Who do we glorify when we receive a blessing? Or we experience a success? Do we glorify man because they did something and had a part in it? Do we glorify ourselves because we did something? You see, that's true thankfulness. True thankfulness is glorifying God first and foremost. Acknowledging and being truly thankful. Thankful is appreciative. Being thankful is having an appreciation for God. And so a Samaritan. And then Jesus said, in verse 17, he answered and he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God?" See, Jesus wasn't even asking for them to glorify him. He wanted the Father to be glorified. Everything Jesus did was to glorify the Father. And he said, "Were there only any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner," meaning the Samaritan? You know, that's interesting when we look at Numbers. 10 were healed. Only one came back and gave glory to God and was thankful. Now, probably the others were happy they were healed, glad they were healed. We don't know because they didn't come back. But one came back, was truly thankful. If we apply that today, how many of us are truly thankful? 1 in 10? I hope not. I hope not. I hope it's at least 9 out of 10. And, you know, being thankful to God is an act of worship. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16. Go back to Luke 17, verse 17. Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any to be found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to the man in verse 19, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now that's an interesting statement from Jesus given the circumstances. Your faith has made you well. Some theologians believe that that was the point, a point of salvation for that leper. That not only was he cleansed physically, he was cleansed spiritually. But there again, Jesus spoke it. Your faith has made you well. You see, he had the faith to believe. He had the faith to cry out, "Master, have mercy on me." And then he had the faith to go when he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, he could have thought, he said, "Go to the priest," when he realized he was cleansed. Well, he said, "Go to the priest, so I need to go to the priest." But when he realized he was cleansed, he turned around and he went back to Jesus. He glorified God and he fell before him and he worshiped and gave thanks. That was faith. That was it, and that's what Jesus said. Your faith has made you well. You see, I remember years ago, not too long after I was saved, and someone said something about faith having to do with healing, and I said, "Well, that's not right." But the more you read the Bible, it's true. It's true. And Jesus spoke it right there. Your faith has made you well. He had the faith to believe that Jesus could and would heal him. Amen. And then he demonstrated true thankfulness, a contrite, a repentant, a humble heart. Okay, Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Well, there it is. Verse 16. "Let the word dwell in you richly." Let the word dwell in you richly. I've been hammering this home in the last month or so. The word, the word, the word. What are we supposed to do in the Word? Abide in the Word. Abide in the Word. And that's what he's saying. Let the Word dwell in you. Let the Word abide in you. Remain in you. That's what he says. Dwell in you richly, meaning in a fullness. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. The word grace there means thankfulness. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In other words, being thankful to God. Being thankful to the Lord in your heart. And then in verse 17, he says, "And whatever," what does whatever mean? Everything, all of it, whatever, right? He says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what? Giving thanks to who? God the Father through who? Jesus. He says, in whatever you, he says in word or deed, whatever you say or whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God through him. Give whatever you do. You see, that kind of takes the glory away from us, doesn't it? He says it doesn't matter if you make $1 million, if you become president, if you own 1,000 acres, if you're the smartest person in the world, whatever you do, give thanks to God. Give thanks to God through Jesus. So there's no room for glory for us there, is there? You know, and that's the whole point. When we're truly thankful to God, when I'm truly thankful to God, there's no room for me in that other than my heart to him. That's really it. That's really it. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, in whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Do it all to the glory of God. Whether it's eat, whether you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think we miss that on Thanksgiving. I think we eat and drink for this. But what he's saying there, the point is there, when he uses the analogy of eating or drinking, that's he's just emphasizing whatever. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're doing, if you're standing on your head, give glory to God. Yep. Give glory to God. And then he says, giving thanks through Jesus. Giving thanks through Jesus. Because you see, everything flows through Jesus to the Father. And everything flows from the Father through Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 19. I'll just throw 18 here. It says, do not be drunk with wine, but which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Being thankful in your heart to the Lord. In verse 20, giving thanks always for what?
All things.
What does all things mean? All right, it means whatever. God was pretty smart when he wrote this book. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in whose name?
Jesus.
You see the connection? Do you see the connection of our thankfulness? Our thankfulness, our praise, our worship needs to go right through Jesus, right up to the Father. But through Jesus. We can't bypass him. He says, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that's thankfulness. Giving thanks always. Psalm 34, it won't be on your screen. This is, the Lord threw that in here this morning as a bonus. But Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means nonstop. I will bless the Lord at all times. What's all times? It's all the time. Good or bad? Good or bad? That's the key. You see, when he says in verse 20 of Ephesians chapter 5, giving thanks always for all things. All things, good or bad. Now, that can be a tough one. That can be a tough one. Because sometimes things come into our life that's not pleasant, that can be really taking things sideways. I'll get to that in a minute. I'm going to express something in a minute when we get to another verse here. But he says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we're to be thankful at all times. We're to be thankful in all things. You see, there's two little words there that we get twisted around that make a whole different meaning in all of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. What does rejoice mean? Be glad. Be glad always. Pray without ceasing. Now there's a challenge. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is worship. Prayer is showing God our appreciation, our thankfulness for Him. Why? Well, if you appreciate somebody, if you're thankful for somebody, do you never talk to them? Of course not. You talk to them, right? And that's what He's saying. When we pray, we're talking to God. And we should be listening too. Probably more listening than talking. But it's showing appreciation, thankfulness to Him. Just like the leper. The lepers, He said, go and show yourself to the priest. He didn't say He was going to heal him. He just said, go. And they went. And you see, when we pray without ceasing, that means we need to pray a lot. We should be praying a lot. And I believe we miss it there. In verse 17 or verse 18, he says, in everything, give thanks. In everything. What's everything? All things. Whatever. Right? Whatever. All things. Everything. Give thanks in everything. You see, we may not be thankful for a tragedy. But listen to me now. There's these two words. But we can be thankful in it. We may not be thankful for the storm, but we can be thankful in the storm. For and in. And see, we get hung up on for. Well, I can't be thankful for this storm in my life. You don't have to be thankful for the storm. You're thankful in the storm. That's what God wants us to do, is to be thankful in the storm. And then He can use it to do something in our lives. Yes. We'll get something out of it. We'll get something out of it. Can I have an usher make sure you assist her, please? He says, be thankful in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is the will of God. God's will is for you to be thankful in everything. And I know you're thinking, I don't know, that's hard to do. Get the word for out of your head and get the word in your head. Be thankful in everything. Because why? Because it doesn't matter what's happening in your life. It doesn't matter what the tragedy is. God's still God. And He hasn't left you. And He won't leave you. And He will carry you in it and through it. That's why he wants us to be thankful in everything. But what we do is we get in the flesh and we say, this is horrible. I'm not thankful for this. For, you see the word? Those little words. Go from the three letters to two letters. It's much more powerful. Be thankful in it. And then you can see God in it somewhere. Because if you're trying to be thankful for it, you can't be thankful for it. But if you'll be thankful in it, then he'll reveal to you himself. He'll reveal himself. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in times of trouble, the word says. And that trouble could mean anything. Here's the thing, folks. It's God's will for us to be thankful. And you know, Thanksgiving comes, and so often it's like Christmas. It's so commercialized, and you know, it's all about the turkey, and it's all about the dressing, and it's all about the fun and the food and all the get-togethers. And we forget about the main person it should be about. See, that happens at Christmas too. It's amazing how it happens at Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving we think about the turkey. We should be thinking about God. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a time that we should highlight our thankfulness for God, because that's what instituted Thanksgiving with the pilgrims. They were thankful to be alive and just to have him in their life, because they didn't have a whole lot of anything else. It's God's will that we're thankful in everything. And so if you get nothing from this today, from this message, get this. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And the key word is in everything. You see, we're not going to like everything that comes into our lives. It's not going to be pleasant, everything that comes into our lives. In fact, life happens and life is very unpleasant at times. But God's will is that we're thankful even in everything. Amen. In everything. Because then he can use us. He can use our heart. He can change our heart. He can move our heart. If we're thankful in it. Amen? Amen. So what are you thankful? Are you truly thankful? You know, I'm going to confess. I'll be the first to confess. You know, Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. Oftentimes most of the time I'm not thankful. I don't know why this year he brought it to me. And this year I'm more thankful for him than in all the years past. Amen. See, I hope that when you read the word, and especially these words, that it will give Thanksgiving a whole new meaning. Because think about it, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Just flip it, giving thanks. To who? To God. Through who? Jesus. And that's his will for us. Let's pray. Are you thankful? Are you thankful this morning? I'm sure there's many people here that are in a season that's probably like a storm. But you know, you can still be thankful in it. In it. And I think that's what happens to us. We get it twisted. We think God expects us to do the impossible and be thankful for it. And that's not what he's asking. He's asking us in everything, be thankful. Are you thankful? I hope from God's word and by God's spirit, we truly will be more thankful to God through Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. It's truth and it's life. Thank you that it brings light to our lives. It brings revelation to our lives. It brings understanding, brings clarity, brings wisdom and knowledge. It brings strength, it brings courage, brings correction, brings faith. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that because of your word and the truth that it is, we can have a whole new perspective on Thanksgiving. A whole new perspective on being thankful. Help us, Lord, to give thanks in everything to you, God, through Jesus. Amen. 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 We're going to celebrate. We're going to be thankful today for Jesus. Amen. We're going to thank him. Go ahead. Yeah, thank him right now. We're going to thank him for dying on the cross for our sins. We're going to thank him and thank God for raising him from the dead so that we could be set free from sin and spiritual death. Amen. And so it's called communion. Those men assisting, if you'll come. And so on the night before he was betrayed, he gathered his disciples together and he had one last meal with them. And he explained what was about to take place. He explained that the bread represented his body that would be given up for them, and that the juice, the cup, represented his blood that he would use to make his blood would make a new covenant for us. A covenant that we could be forgiven of our sins and set free from them. And so we're going to celebrate that today. We're going to be thankful to Jesus for making that possible. Because without him, we're done. We wouldn't exist without him. And so the elements are here, and in just a minute we'll come and take the elements. There's a little piece of bread in a cup and the juice in a cup, and you come and take that. And just thank Jesus for his body and his blood this morning. Yes. His body and his blood. Yes. Worship team, would you come? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent to die on a cross for us, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So Lord, I thank you that because of his death, burial, and resurrection, because of his grace, and because of the faith that he imparts to us, we can have a relationship with him. a real relationship with Him. And so this morning, Lord, we just want to thank You. Thank You for dying for us, for giving it all. Thank You for cleansing us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sins, when we repent, and by faith we receive You as Savior and Lord. So Jesus, we celebrate You this morning. We give thanks to You. This is truly Thanksgiving. Because You said, do this as often as You will to remember Me. And so, Lord, that's what we're doing. We're remembering and we're saying thank You for doing what You did for us. And we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.